$1,000. Now, text the keyword bank to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's bank to 200-200.
710 WOR.
Live
from the heart of Tribeca, this is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
And a very good Tuesday morning to you if you're just joining us. Jam-packed news day today. Len, we've got that terrible car accident on the day of the wedding for the policeman, Michael Colangelo.
Yes.
Just got married to a lovely bride. She was a nurse. And his friend, another police officer.
John Martinez.
John Martinez showed up. Maybe it was a surprise. I don't know. In a Maserati, in a car, and they said, hey, let's go for a joyride to celebrate your wedding day. I don't know if there was drinking involved. We don't have the toxicology.
We do know there were no seatbelts involved. That we do know.
The two guys, they hit a tree. The car flipped over. The two policemen not buckled in, both killed. There was a passenger in the back seat who apparently was wearing his...
Their friend Cody survived, yeah.
Yeah, he was wearing his safety belt, and he survived. And this bride was planning her honeymoon. They were going to go to Costa Rica, and now she's planning a funeral.
Really Michael Colangelo tragic. From Huntington Station, John Martinez from Hotbog. They were both with the 8-4 in Brooklyn, but just a terrible, awful story
and the bride's
on
name,
his wedding day.
Yeah, Catherine Berger, the bride's name. Yeah, lovely pictures of the two of them looking so happy. And really, really a tragic, tragic, tragic bit of news today. So what is going on with this K2 thing and the pot arrest? I mean, this is what I don't get, Len. If you're going to have pot, if we're going to legalize it, as apparently we're going to do, although now the mayor is sort of saying, well, don't smoke it in the open. If pot is out there, use the real thing. Why do you want to use the synthetic pot called K2 that apparently has all these terrible side effects?
Well, we got a call from a listener yesterday who said the K2 stuff does not show up in drug tests. So if you're being drug tested, marijuana would show up, K2 would not. And obviously they're buying it at some corner drugstore or some corner whatever kind of store.
All right.
And they're passing out in the streets left and right.
So the K2 does not show up in your urine sample. But if you take it, you stumble around like a zombie. You don't think people are going to say that guy's high, that guy's doped up?
Well, listen to what they're saying in Brooklyn. This is the Bed-Stuy area. As many as 49 people had to be treated.
They walk like zombies. People looking like they're zombies. They look like this. Feel me? They right there sleeping. Zombies.
And they're, it's like Night of the Living Dead.
No, they're passing out in the streets to see some of the video.
That guy wasn't on it.
What?
That guy?
No.
That just you had on, he was just talking
about it.
I don't
know. You tell me.
I'm not sure.
Natalie's accusing this guy of taking this stuff.
They're all zombies. This is K2. If it turns you into zombies, does that mean you want to eat people? Like they do in those George Romero movies?
Munch people be passing out, smoking this stuff. And they still be out here, you know. People be walking by, seeing this. You got little kids.
Yeah, people are like rolling around and passing out. This is unbelievable. But really, almost 50 people.
Is this the new crack?
I don't know what it is. No, this has come up. And in fact, the same intersection, same place has been busted before. Now, they arrested one and took two into custody the other day. But a couple of years ago, same intersection, same deal. So obviously, this is something on this corner in Bed-Stuy.
This is the K2 capital of the world.
This is a restaurant owner, Domingo Fernandez.
Falling down, smoking, falling down. We're like, it's like a heart attack. They need help. A lot of help.
They need help.
Ay, ay, ay. Do they get violent, though? I guess they're...
Not if they're passing out on the ground.
If they're zombies, they'll eat your hand.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, but didn't they say that there was probably... Not that it's a good thing in the first place, but this was a bad batch. That's something
obviously.
To have so many people such a violent reaction.
Sure. No, obviously there must be a good batch. I don't know if this
right. I don't want to say good or bad.
It's a good thing of K2.
Hey, guys, here's the simple solution. Don't do drugs, all right? You won't turn into a zombie if you don't do drugs.
Just say
simple
no.
Simple as that.
Just say
exactly.
No.
Just say
go.
No. And the
thank
problem
you, Nancy
is,
Reagan.
Well, the problem now, Len, is I think the Just Say No campaign back in the 80s was very effective. But now, oh, my God, it led to all these arrests and incarcerations, and now we have to scale back on any kind of drug program. So we're getting to the point now where de Blasio is saying, yeah, you can smoke pot and do what you want. Drugs should all be legal. This is a recipe for disaster. Well, we see it with this K2 problem.
I'm not sure where de Blasio. One day he's saying, don't arrest them, and we're not going to. And then the next, I don't know what's going on.
I don't want to see people saddled with an arrest record. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see people, especially young people's future, undermined. Too many young people, particularly men of color, have been suffering from that reality. Here's a way to avoid that altogether. Of course, best idea, don't smoke marijuana in public.
Yeah.
But if you get a summons, pay the summons, no arrest record.
So that's he doesn't know where he is. Well, I sort of understand what he's saying, that if you have an arrest record for something that seems to be very minor, that follows you forever. So this way.
First of all, until the law is different, you shouldn't smoke marijuana in public. By the way, in a lot of the states that legalized marijuana, they still have kept a prohibition on smoking in public.
Well, so de Blasio, doesn't he seem all over the map here?
But in both cuts that you just played, he was just saying, don't smoke in public.
Don't smoke at all.
In public, he's saying. He said it both times.
Well, then you can't get. Well, you're not going to get arrested in private for smoking marijuana.
So I think he's okay with you smoking it, right? Not in public.
Yeah, I'm sure he's fine smoking in Gracie Mansion.
Right.
You know, but also in the big three. Well, then we know there is a deep state now, and they were spying on Donald Trump's campaign. Yes. The FBI was looking into interviewing people who had talked to Russians about some dirt on Hillary Clinton, and Trump is now calling for an investigation into whether or not the Justice Department planted a spy in his campaign.
Well, so what Rosenstein did and Christopher Wray, the FBI director, they met with Donald Trump yesterday. They've kind of lateraled over to the inspector general to say, okay, they're humoring the president. Yep, okay, we'll check it out. We'll have the inspector general check it out. I think while they were doing it, they were rolling their eyes.
That's my personal opinion. But I got to say, though, strategically, it's a pretty shrewd move on Trump's part, because he is muddying the waters and he is casting doubt on the Mueller investigation that goes on and on. He's playing to his base, no question about it. But that base is suspicious of this permanent government that we know has been lurking there in the shadows all these years. Trump gets elected to upend this, and now they're trying to bring him down. That's your story.
Huh? Hey, why don't you bring up those two lovers in the FBI who sent each other text messages?
Well, they were saying how terrible.
You're not allowed
Donald
to be a lover, and you can't have any political opinions in the FBI.
Not as many
1,000% neutral.
Not if you're involved in the investigation. They were involved in the investigation.
And
they were texting
taken
each
off.
Other.
They were taken off the Hillary investigation.
Only because it became public. If it had not become public, they'd still be there, part of the deep state.
Oh, what else do you have in the big three?
Also.
Yes.
If you gotta go.
You gotta go.
Go to Starbucks.
Go to Starbucks.
Although.
That's their new advertising slogan.
You gotta go.
Go to Starbucks. Right.
Although they're not even sure. They're like de Blasio. They're now all over the place on this. So they announced that every restroom will be open to anybody, whether you buy a mocha latte or not. You can use the restroom, but can't have a homeless problem there. You can't do drugs in the restroom. Can't shoot up there. You can't loiter around. I think they have opened a can of worms, and they're going to have a lot of trouble at Starbucks.
We have Alice Stockton Rossini checking out Starbucks, and we'll have her report at 9 o'clock. Just telling you what's coming up. At 8:30, we have the Turning Point for Mets tickets.
Yep.
Next segment. Now, you consider yourself an author, right? You wrote Razzle Dazzle?
What do you mean I consider
myself?
How many
books did you sell?
I'm like number 700,042 on
Amazon. I've written six books today. That you could,
pop-up books.
All those books that
pop-up books.
Add up to a hill of beans. We have a real author coming on in the next section.
We do, yeah.
Harlan Coben, who I believe has sold 70 million books.
Whoa!
So let's say conservatively he gets a buck a book.
Whoa.
Let's just say conservatively, when all is said and done.
70 million?
70 million worldwide. Oh, this guy's unbelievable. I've read some of his books. And now he's a TV producer. 70 million books. Now, people wonder how you make money as an author. Well, they give you a percentage up front. They give you an upfront advance, and they put your books up against that till you reach a certain amount. And after that, you might get 15% of the cost. So your book sells for what? 1995?
Yeah, 24.
So theoretically, after you meet your advance, you get $3 a book.
Well, actually, my book is now selling for about $2 at the store.
Well, just think with Harlan Coben, if he's getting 15%.
He's outselling Agatha Christie, and she's
70 million worldwide and counting. Anyway,
I have author envy. That's what I have.
Well, we'll vent to him coming up in the next segment.
Incredible. Hey, where do you stand, though, Len, on the Starbucks situation? Do you think the restroom should be open for all, or do you think that an establishment has the right to restrict the use of restrooms to customers?
I think they should handle it like any restaurant or business does, and use discretion. I think by announcing it to the public, you're making a mistake. What happens if you're walking through the West Village and there's a restaurant open? You walk and say, "Hey, do you mind if I use the restroom?" I'm sure they don't. They say fine. You know, the only time, where was I walking? Somewhere in Europe. They said no. You wanted to use a restroom? No. But it wasn't a tourist area. And I'm sure if they said yes, there'd be 8 zillion people using the restroom. But look, I think you don't announce it to the public and you use discretion. That's all.
Also, if you got to use the restroom, I this is a trick I use when I'm walking through at night and I have to go to the bathroom and I'm not home yet and I got to pop in somewhere. I walk into a bar and I pretend to wave to fake friends of mine at the bar.
Oh,
so the maitre d' thinks, oh, he sees someone at the bar.
The old wave. And go. Huh?
I wave and go.
The
I
wave and go.
And I hit the restroom, and then I go and I pretend to be talking on my cell phone. Why I have to leave the restaurant. So I know all the tricks.
You're
of that shabby
guy.
Little trick.
You really are.
All right. As Len said, when we get back, Harlan Coben sold 70 million books. We're going to ask him how much money he's worth.
And yeah, ask him that.
He's got a new show on Netflix called Safe that everyone's talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Well, he's coming up next, and your chance to be as rich as Harlan Coben is coming up. Well, you can win $1,000 at 9:05. And Mark Simone, he will be here at 10 o'clock on 710 WOR. And now let's find out what's going on with that traffic on the George Washington Bridge with Bernie Viter.
Welcome back, everyone, at 825. Who hasn't read a Harlan Coben novel? My goodness, 70 million books in print.
Wow. I've got author envy.
Both of us. It's unbelievable. I've met him on Twitter. I haven't spoken to him on the phone until now. He's got a new Netflix series that's dropped called Safe, starring Michael C. Hall. He's the executive producer. So in addition to selling all those millions of books, he's running television. So good morning to you, Harlan.
Hey, Len. How you doing? Michael, what's going on?
We have author.
We're so jealous. Harlan. I've written 6 books, Harlan. Riedel's 1 going on 2. And we've sold, several hundred copies of our books.
Harlan, I got to ask you. So every now and then I check my Amazon ranking. I'm usually hovering around like 600,042. You must just, every time you want to cheer yourself up, you just check your Amazon ranking and you're probably, you know, number 1 or 2, you and Dan Brown vying for the top slot.
I never look at Amazon.
You're lying.
You're just inviting trouble, my friend. You will always find something you will not want to see. Actually, it's the opposite for me. When I need my ego to be knocked down a little bit.
Because you love the people who troll you with their reviews, right?
Well, my favorite one-star review ever, is a classic. It's almost like a haiku. The one-star review, my favorite, was, "Never received it. Don't think I ordered it."
So I was telling Michael that you and I are kind of Twitter buddies. We never spoke. We actually, I don't know if you remember, one night we were tweeting each other on New Year's Eve to tell you what exciting lives we were leading.
We're party animals, Len. That's the only
That's thing. Us. So after selling all these books, now you're in TV, actually, because I wanted to check out the series. I saw a first episode, which, of course, is a cliffhanger. And am I to assume, because the name of it is Safe, that the girl who's gone missing in the first episode is going to turn out safe?
No one is safe. Safe is supposed to be, or I hope it is, it's one of those kind of binge shows. We've already seen that most people watch all 8 episodes within 48 hours.
Wow.
It's sort of amazing what Netflix does for people. It's Michael C. Hall's only his third show. He did 6 Feet Under, then he did Dexter, and Safe is his third show. So we're, you know, it's been really, really exciting. But yeah, Safe is supposed to be about a gated community where you think you're safe.
Yes.
Interesting.
But everyone has a secret. Everyone, you suspect everybody. There are disappearances and murders and all of that kind of fun thing. And I promise you, I shouldn't promise you, but for those listeners who love to always guess the ending, my guess is you'll be surprised by the ending.
But you didn't write this thing, right? You just produced the TV stuff?
I know, I wrote it. I
mean, you did write the whole thing.
I mean, what they call the creator and executive producer. The whole story is mine. I worked with five writers, actually, in producing the screenplays. But this is all my story, and we had a great time. It's TV is not like a book. In a book, I do everything. I'm writer, director, I change the light bulbs.
Right.
But TV is much more a collaborative process. I was lucky to have my partner, Danny Brocklehurst, a great British screenwriter as my lead writer on this.
You write your own reviews on Amazon. That's what I do.
Yes. No, I changed names. You have to be very careful with that, though. Someone will catch you.
Hey, Harlan, I want to ask you, you just mentioned endings. You're a mystery writer, and I love mysteries. I love Rex Stout and Agatha Christie. When I have read about these guys, they always start, when you construct a mystery, with the ending first, and you work backwards. Is that how you do it?
I do. I know the ending before I start. So, like in this story in Safe, there's a teenage party. One girl goes missing. One ends up dead. A lot of suspects. I know before I start. Before I start, I know that setup, and then I know who did it and what happened in the end. I know almost nothing in between. I compare it to driving from my home state of New Jersey across the country to L.A. I may drive Route 80. Chances are I'll go via the Suez Canal or stop in Tokyo.
But you'll get there.
I always end up in L.A.
Are you, like, you've written, you don't run out of ideas. Are you in the middle of writing another one?
I just finished the first draft of, oh my God, my 31st novel.
Wow.
I've done about one a year, so I started when I was 8 years old.
You sure? Yeah.
I'm only 39 now.
Hey, Harlan, do you have a rigorous writing schedule? Tom Wolfe, who just died, said that he wrote 10 pages every day. Do you keep yourself to that kind of a strict schedule?
I don't, but I do it every day. I think the secret of writing, if you want to be a writer, is to ignore the voices in your head that says you stink and treat it like a job. You guys can't not show up one morning because you're not in the mood. A plumber can't do pipes because he's not in the mood that day. I have to treat writing like a job, and I have to be there every day and do my work. Otherwise, you don't produce pages.
The great writer, Harlan Coben. Harlan, come back again. Great guest.
Thanks, guys. Great talking
Appreciate
to you.
Appreciate it. And lots of success with Safe on Netflix. Go binge it and check out his 31st novel soon coming to your Amazon account near you.
And it's now time for... The Mets, chock full of Mets, turning point of the game. Be the first person who can correctly identify the turning point of the game from last night, and you'll win a pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Cubs on June 1st at Citi Field. So call 1-800-321-0710. That's 1-800-321-0710. Identify the turning point, and you're going to go see the Mets take on the Cubs. The turning point is presented by Chock Full of Nuts, New York's coffee since 1932. To purchase tickets, go to Mets.com/tickets.
And for the latest news headlines at 8:30, go to Joe Bartlett. Hey, Joe.
Hello, Len. The Justice Department complying with President Trump's demand to investigate whether the FBI infiltrated his campaign. The Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, has ordered the Inspector General to look into it. But New York Senator Chuck Schumer says it's an abuse of power.
The president's behavior is the kind of grossly autocratic behavior we'd expect in a banana republic, not a mature democracy.
Well, most reports say the FBI informants did not infiltrate the campaign, but they did talk to some staffers. Speaking of the president, he's issuing a statement on the MS-13 animals ahead of a visit to Long Island. He's going to attend a forum to talk about gang violence. He's got a lot of heat because he used the phrase animals to describe MS-13. But the White House did issue a press release about the event and used the word animal 10 times. So he's not backing off that one. State police awaiting toxicology reports after a crash in the Catskills that killed two NYPD officers. 31-year-old Michael Colangelo had just been married when he got into a Maserati with another cop, John Martinez, and apparently hit a tree and flipped over. Here's State Police Major Pierce Gallagher.
It was a violent impact, obviously. There was rollover involved. So, yes, the speed was probably excessive for that roadway. It's a 40-mile-an-hour county roadway. As you can see, brother, you know, it's narrow. It's got some curves to it, so I feel comfortable saying that the speed was excessive.
NYPD issuing an order about the strain of K2 in Brooklyn. The chief of department, Terry Monahan, says it's dangerous and deadly. 49 people have become sick by it. Our news at 8:30 brought to you today by Rex Real Estate. Rex sells homes for the lowest fee in the industry, 2%. Finally, gentlemen, a Missouri man who flunked out of college was still able to keep his promise to walk at graduation. Jason Myers bought a cap and gown for $38 and snuck into the line of graduates at Missouri State.
Cut and graduate, huh?
Cut and graduate. Well, he thought he'd be caught, but no one stopped him. When it was his turn to walk across the stage, he grabbed a piece of paper, wrote his name on it, just like all the other students did, and they announced his name.
That's terrific.
Works.
Oh, boy.
This guy's a comedian. That's his livelihood.
Oh, he is? Yeah.
Yeah. The school, too, had a good sense of humor about it. They said, well, we're happy he chose us to graduate from.
That's cute.
Got a master's in fine arts.
That's cute.
Hey, thanks, Joey. Great story. Coming up next, you know, we just can't let go of the royal wedding. We have more palace tidbits coming up, including that preacher. We got him. Plus, your next chance is $1,000 at 9:05 here on 710 WOR right now. Bernie Viter checks out traffic.
And a very good Tuesday morning to you, and it's an especially good morning, good Tuesday morning, to Joe Pereiro from Norwalk, Connecticut, who was the first caller to correctly identify that the turning point from last night's game was this.
Runners take their leads. Now the pitch. Swung on and missed strike three. He got him with a curveball. And that retires the side. A.J. Ramos strikes out Derek Dietrich. And the Marlins leave him loaded in the sixth.
Bases loaded strikeout from A.J. Ramos, the relief pitcher, after Jason Vargas had pitched well. So the Mets went on to win 2-0 and try for 5 in a row tonight against the Marlins.
And your next chance to win, the turning point, is by listening to the next post-game show. That's tonight on WOR, and you will win the Mets Chock Full of Nuts turning point of the game. So congratulations to Joe Pereiro.
We can't get enough of the royal wedding. Come on.
I
got to have some more stories.
I can. I'm a little bit sick of it now. But better is Whitney Houston's Ooh, I Want to Dance with Somebody, because that was the dance song that they played at the reception.
Yeah,
they did a little more than dancing, though, Len. They played beer pong. Now, you had to explain to me what beer pong is. So is this a drinking game that is regularly played at Mahjong night at the Berman household?
Yeah, that's exactly what we do. Now, beer pong, you line up all these cups of beer, and you throw a little either a ping pong ball or a tennis ball. And if you get it in the cup on the other side, then your opponent on the other side has to chug whatever was in there. So apparently they were doing this at the Royal
Wedding. Apparently Serena Williams was a champion at it.
What?
Did you say a tennis ball?
Well, that's what they said in this copy.
No, it's a ping pong ball.
Page six. Here it is in print.
You can't.
Page six.
I guess you've never played beer pong.
It says on page six.
A ping pong ball.
I know, but it says on page six a tennis ball.
Well, maybe it's because Serena Williams plays it well.
Yeah, maybe.
So Serena plays with a tennis ball. Everyone else plays with a ping pong ball.
No, you play it on a very long, like, ping pong table.
Quote page six.
Okay, well,
players
it's wrong.
Throw table. Oh, no, I'm sorry. They throw table tennis balls. Okay. Oops. Never mind.
Also known as a ping pong.
Can you
ball.
Imagine if you were going to throw a tennis ball into a beer tennis ball into a beer mug? All the beer would be sloshed out
I
of it.
I said table tennis
table
balls.
Table tennis.
And you know, obviously the glasses are usually not glasses; they're red solo cups.
Red solo cups. I knew that.
I see. And you know who was the host of the festivities?
Yeah.
James Corden.
And he started a dance off. Now this must have been fun to watch. Prince Charles, Prince Harry, and Prince William.
No, that's not going to be fun.
Who would you? My money's on Harry one.
I think so. Can you Prince Charles dancing?
Oh,
please. I mean, he can do a waltz or something from 1934, but I don't see him busting a move with Whitney Houston.
You know what I think is even funnier here? The gift bags that all these people got.
Yeah.
And not at the, I guess, the 600 guests who went to the earlier shindig. They're now on eBay for as much as $13,000. But if you look at the items, if you look at the items, there's like a bottle of water.
That's
it's like a chocolate gold coin, and there's a fridge magnet.
That's all.
This and is some other stuff.
This is the frickin' richest family in the world, and they give a bottle of water and a fridge magnet.
Well, there's little messages from the bride and groom in there. So
you don't have messages.
Something in there.
Couldn't they slip a few crown jewels into the bag?
$13,000 on eBay. It could be yours.
That is ridiculous. Now, the wedding pictures are out, and I'm not really into the royal wedding thing, but I have to say, the pictures look great. And I love the picture, Natalie, of Harry and Meghan surrounded by all the adorable little kids, the bridesmaids.
The bridesmaids.
The little girls were bridesmaids, and the little guys are in... they look like little vampires there in their black.
You don't like the picture where the queen just is smiling? No, she's not really smiling.
No, she's not happy.
The queen's sitting there like the queen, like she's sitting on a throne.
And Prince Philip.
The other kind of throne.
Len, that is disgusting.
She looks like she's miserable.
And Prince Philip looks like he's just totally out of it. But at least he's still with us.
The pictures are beautiful. Prince George, our future king. Mm-hmm. Of England.
George.
He looked adorable. And you know, it's the first time he's ever worn pants.
What?
Well, good to know.
What does he wear? What has he worn before?
Shorts.
Oh,
really? They always have him in shorts.
Little nappies? Little royal nappies?
Yeah.
George had to wear pants. Was he okay with that?
I guess so. He looked so cute.
And you guys remember Reverend Michael Curry, right?
Those who do not love do not know God. Why? For God is love. There's power in love.
So Reverend Curry's making the rounds. He was on GMA, on the Today Show. So
his fee to officiate a wedding has just gone through the roof.
He is milking his 15 minutes.
Well, it was a decision of the couple, but they were in consultation both with the Archbishop of Canterbury and with the Dean of St. George's, and I'm sure others as well. But once they had made their decision, I got a phone call, actually through one of the members of my staff from Lambeth Palace, the Archbishop's residence, and got a phone call, and I didn't believe it because a member of my staff called and said they'd like you to preach at a royal wedding. I said, get out of here. It's April Fool's. You got to be kidding me.
And he had to keep this a secret from his wife.
I couldn't even tell my wife for about a month.
And what was her reaction when you told her?
The same reaction. She said, get out of here. All right, yeah.
Sounds like he's having
a good imagine
little royal time.
Can you imagine you get the phone call, please hold for the Archbishop of Canterbury?
Yeah, I would think that's
direct from Lambeth Palace. Doing the Lambeth Walk in Lambeth Palace.
I'd say that's a Canterbury Tale. That's what I would think.
Oh, very clever. Len, Mr. Literary over here. Author of the pop-up books.
The Wife of Bath.
Oh, that's the best tale, actually, The Wife of Bath.
Well,
very good.
Very
I'm impressed, Len.
Well, no, you should be.
I'm impressed.
Now you make fun
of
me.
Bath.
Bartlett was going, over there.
Bartlett thinks
both of you,
a
take
bath
a hike.
Is something you take.
Yes, a bath.
All right. Hey, when we get back, we're going to look into Trump and the Justice Department and spying. Alex Castellanos, a really brilliant ABC News political analyst. He really knows what's going on in that Trump White House. He knows what's going on in the mind of Donald Trump. He's going to be here to give us his insights. And if you want $1,000, your chance is coming up at 9:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's check in on the traffic with Bernie Biden.
8:55. Good morning, everyone. And there's so much going on in Washington. We need Alex Castellanos, the terrific ABC News political analyst in Washington, to sort it out for us. Good morning to you, Alex.
Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Alex.
Well, listen, this whole thing, the meeting yesterday with Trump and Rosenstein and with Christopher Wray, and now he passed it off to the Inspector General. What do you make of all this and this spying on the Trump campaign during the months leading up to Election Day?
Well, shocking news here in Washington. The FBI may have sent an informant into the Trump campaign. Who knew there actually was a Trump campaign? We had a president tweeting and giving speeches, so this is a big shocker. Actually, it's an important thing. When you start connecting the dots, there's a pattern here. You have an Obama administration that tapped the phones of reporters that used the IRS to target its adversaries. The head of the Justice Department, Loretta Lynch, meeting secretly with Bill Clinton while Hillary's emails were supposed to be investigated by that Justice Department. And now you find out that the FBI was sending informants into political campaigns. That's a lot of politics and beyond the scope of what our investigative agencies are supposed to be doing.
Yeah, here's what I don't understand about the whole issue of Russian collusion. When you are in the heat of battle, when you're in the trenches of a campaign, and somebody calls you, whether they're from Russia or Saudi Arabia, and they say, we've got dirt on your opponent, whether you're a Republican or Democrat, you're going to take that call.
Absolutely. Every campaign for president. By the way, Hillary Clinton's campaign, former Secretary of State, do we not think that other countries and their representatives didn't meet with that campaign to try to advance their interest? Everybody thought she was going to win. I'm sure that happened. By the way, collusion is not a crime. Collusion is talking. You can do that. And the other thing to remember here is the president is the chief law enforcement officer of the United States. He is charged charged with faithfully executing the laws. This myth of an independent Justice Department is exactly that, a myth. The founders didn't plan it that way. They didn't want an attorney general that could unaccountable and could do whatever he wanted. We count on the president to do that job. So you could argue that Donald Trump has a constitutional responsibility to demand that the FBI not play politics.
And you say it's fine that he demands that the FBI, the Department of Justice, look into this, his demand, and I hereby demand. You think that's all fine?
He forgot all the whereupons and wherefores that would go in the Royal Declaration.
Right.
But legally, yeah, he, like anything Donald Trump does, you know, he does too much, no question about it. But it is his job as chief law enforcement officer. I mean, if you're Donald Trump and you think your campaign did not collude with the Russians, and you think that the law enforcement agencies of the country were used to undermine your campaign and now your administration, you have a responsibility to get politics out of justice.
What do you think when Giuliani says, Alex, that Mueller's going to wrap up the obstruction of justice case by September 1st? Do you believe anything that Giuliani's telling us? Does he really have knowledge there?
You know, I think what he's doing is making it look like these people are overstaying their welcome.
Mm.
I think he's laying down some red lines that Mueller is going to cross, and therefore, gosh, can't we get this all behind us? So I think he's making it more difficult for the Mueller investigation to continue, to keep doing what it's doing, and it's having an effect. Among Republicans, more than half of Republicans now think the Mueller investigation is being unfair.
Mm.
Alex Castellanos, ABC News political analyst, with us every Tuesday. Thanks, Alex. Appreciate the insight.
Good to be with you.
Okay, good talking to you. Well, I found that interesting that he does say connect the dots, and he sounds like he's buying into the whole idea that the Obama administration was spying on the Trump campaign.
I know, but his best point was, who knew there was a Trump campaign?
Well, yeah, I know.
To believe all this conspiracy stuff, you have to believe that somebody actually was orchestrating the Trump campaign, which was a by the seat of its pants campaign.
Yeah. And I don't know that Obama had. Okay. I know a lot of our listeners disagree. I don't think Obama directed them, go spy on this to help Hillary. Okay. That's just me.
Well, you might have the scales falling from your eyes, Len.
Whatever that means. Up next, we do have Alice Stockton-Rossini on the case. The new Starbucks policy is changing by the minute. And we'll check in with Alice, plus your next chance is $1,000 coming up right now after the news. It's 9 o'clock.
$1,000. Now, text the keyword WIN to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's WIN to 200-200.
710 WOR.
Ben Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
We come together because I was
710 WOR.
Good morning, everyone. At 9:05, you know, tomorrow the president's coming to Long Island.
He is indeed. Yes.
He's going to deal with MS-13.
Yep.
Congressman Peter King from Long Island will be with him. Peter King is very involved in that bad situation out there. Mm-hmm. Congressman King will be joining us on the air tomorrow
Excellent.
Morning. And he'll be able to preview the visit. You know, last time he came with the president, they flew up on Air Force One. So we'll see if they're going to do that again. Big three stories this morning. We have the wedding tragedy. Two NYPD officers were killed in a car crash after the wedding. And one of those killed was the groom.
Yeah.
They get in the car. They don't use their seatbelts. Probably a high rate of speed. We don't know yet about alcohol. It's safe to assume maybe that was involved. But anyway, we've lost two from Brooklyn. That's where they were at the 8-4 in Brooklyn.
Michael Colangelo and John Martinez, they got into a Maserati. There was a third person in the car who was in the back seat who was buckled in and who survived. The two cops who I'm sure they've arrested people over the years or given them a ticket for not buckling up, and they didn't buckle up, and now they're dead.
Cody Kalina was in the back seat. He did have his seatbelt on, and he survived, according to reports.
Mm.
Also in the big three, you had the White House powwow as the inspector general is now going to look into charges that the Trump campaign was infiltrated by the FBI for political purposes. Now, what did you tell me to remove from my eyes?
The scales will fall from your eyes, Len, when you find out that Obama was behind all of this.
What does that mean, the scales will fall from my eyes?
You'll see clearly now, Mr. Magoo.
Oh, okay. Hey, guys. You've done it again.
Jim Buckus. Oh, boy. Jim Buckus. Very good. Right.
Jim Backus.
Jim Backus. Good Jim Backus.
Thank you. That's the only impersonation I could do as a kid was Mr. Magoo. Hey, George. rounding out the... You like that, huh? I'm glad I could amuse you.
He was Thurston Howell III in Gilligan's Island, Jim Backus.
He was. Yeah. He was a good guy. Yeah. Rounding out the big three, Starbucks now says no drugs, no sleeping, but go ahead, use the bathroom now. We've had Alice Stockton Rossini out and about. She visited two Starbucks in New Jersey, two here in New York. And Alice, my guess is that everyone's got a different policy wherever you go.
You got that right, man. I thank you, New Jersey, for allowing me to talk to a barista and to a manager.
Really?
And customers right inside the Starbucks. Yeah. Wasn't the same in New York. But anyway, in New Jersey, it was a good place to start because the last time we did a Starbucks story, Michael said, did you talk to any of the baristas? And I couldn't get any baristas to talk to me. But in New Jersey, I got a manager who says that the bathrooms get abused enough already without opening them up to whoever wants to use them. As much as she, you know, appreciates that initiative.
You've had to kick people out?
I have. I mean, there are people who are attending to their full hygiene routines in our bathroom, and then the next customer is not able to use it, and we have to formally clean it before the next person can use it. So, again, for productivity purposes, that puts a bit of a damper on. We can't just keep cleaning them every 30 minutes.
I'm amazed that you got to speak with a barista or a manager, that they didn't have to call headquarters to approve it, Alice.
Well, so am I, but, you know, that's why they didn't give me their names. Well, they gave me their names, but I'm not going to use their names on the air. Now, this barista, she's got no problem, but says they're going to need more employees to oversee the bathrooms.
Because the way our store works, it can't work off of two people. I feel like it should at least have four. Depends on how busy it is. They don't have anywhere to go. So I personally used to be homeless. I mean, I never took an advantage of the restroom like that before. But people got to do what they got to do, and they have to survive.
Wow, this barista was formerly homeless?
Wow.
I know. Like, she almost made me cry. I was like, oh, my gosh, you should be so proud of yourself. So she understands the needs of being a homeless person and having nowhere to go. But at the same time, she's saying, look, if the company wants us to do this, we can't spend all day cleaning up bathrooms. Now, over in New York, at the Starbucks on 42nd Street, there was no managers talking to me, no baristas, but customers pretty much agree. Homeless people will take advantage of open restrooms. However,
they're going to attract more homeless people.
I think so. You know, unfortunately, that will, and then it could make it people feel a little shabby and probably less likely to use them.
I'm kind of in the middle. I can see it attracting the wrong kind of people, but I could also see the other side where you want to know you can go to a Starbucks and you can go to the bathroom and you don't have restrictions. Yeah.
And how hard is it to find a bathroom in New York City?
It is so hard, especially, like I said, from someone not being from New York City. It's just a complete different concept that there's not public restrooms in every place you go.
Where's this person from? Mars?
No, I mean, she's from the Midwest, but she lives in New York City now. Yeah. And I have a ton of sound from people saying, listen, there's nowhere to go to the bathroom. Any open bathroom is great. So while I'm interviewing these people, here's what happened.
It's not allowed in here, okay?
Starbucks in Hoboken let me.
In here, like, it's not allowed. Like, you have to have permission.
Oh, okay.
So once again, you got booted out of somewhere, Alice. You set the record.
However, before I left, they said, can I use the bathroom? And the guy said, it's for employees only. I go, wait a minute. Starbucks is opening its bathrooms to everybody now. Well, you can see on the door it says employees only. I said, so is that how they get around opening the restrooms to the public, is you put it employees only on the door?
Wow. Well, that seems to go against policy. Starbucks announced that the bathrooms are open to everybody.
Yeah, no. It says employees only. Even I couldn't go to the bathroom.
Where was this? Which Starbucks house?
42nd Street. Everybody go to the 42nd Street on Starbucks. Starbucks 42nd Street, and ask them if you can use the bathroom.
Hey, Alice, when you were talking in New Jersey to the more hospitable people, the managers and baristas, did they tell you off the record or off mic that this was too politically correct, all based on the Philadelphia incident where two blacks were, well, they called the police on these two guys who were there?
Well, the manager was Hispanic. The barista was black. So they welcome this. And I think, you know, yeah, it's another example of political correctness. But like they said, you know, they'll do anything the company asks them to do, but you got to give them the tools to carry it out.
I don't understand why it's so hard, though, to sneak in and use the bathroom. Frankly, I've done it because a zillion times, Alice. You know, there's a long line for the coffee. You kind of pretend you're standing on line. Everyone's distracted. And then as soon as the restroom door opens when someone comes out, you sneak in.
I have done that. I have done that. But you know what? If it closes, you got the code. A lot of these doors have the code, and you don't get the code unless you buy something, and then the code's at the bottom of your receipt. And this manager was telling me, a lot of Starbucks, they change that code like every day.
Huh.
So that people can't, you know.
A little subterfuge going on here.
You just wait until the current occupant walks out before the door closes. That's when you slip in.
I know, but what if there's nobody in there, Michael?
Well, then you'd crush your legs and you hold it.
That's right.
Till you burst.
That's exactly right.
Hey, Alice, can we give a shout out to this New Jersey Starbucks that was so nice to you where they had the nice barista?
She doesn't want to reveal the employees.
Oh, you don't want to?
No, because they're you know, I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say they're probably not supposed to talk to me.
Okay.
So if we start revealing who's talking to me, then, you know, if anybody perchance is listening and says, "Oh, I'm gonna go to that Starbucks and I'm gonna call them up and reprimand them for talking to the press," because nobody's supposed to talk to the press. But the next Starbucks story, that's where I'm going.
You know, most of the time when I was broadcasting, I would be in a nice cozy studio over at Channel 4. But when I would go out to the field, you know, the ballpark or wherever, the first thing I always wanted to know was, where's the closest bathroom? Now, you spend all your time doing street reporting. You've got to be an expert on needing bathrooms and knowing where they're available.
I could do a whole story on it, because the male reporters have a much easier time than the female reporters.
Really?
And whenever we land on this, of course, whenever we go to a story, all the women are going, "Who found the bathroom? Did anybody find the bathroom?" In Paramus last week, we had to go all the way down to Route 4. That was the closest bathroom. It was like you had to drive to it. But that's the first question. And we've often said we should have porta potties that we can bring with us on breaking stories. It's terrible, you know? I mean, you see reporters with their legs crossed doing live shots on TV because, you know, they got to go so bad. It's bad. And women, you know, women is tough. Women, we have it, you know, there's not much we can do.
No, I feel sorry because, you know, I'm here at 4 in the morning. I'll look up, I'll watch Channel 4, and they have Tracy Strahan and Catherine Craig. Every neighborhood in the city, no matter what, they were in Bed-Stuy this morning for the K2 marijuana story. And that's the first thing I'm thinking of. Gee, is there any bathroom? Yeah, where are they putting on their makeup? I guess the makeup goes on in the TV truck, but there's no bathroom.
No bathroom
in the TV truck.
McDonald's is pretty good, though. I love you, McDonald's.
Oh, can you go in without ordering a Big Mac and use the restroom at McDonald's?
I got my favorite McDonald's. I have some favorite spots that I usually go to. Like in Times Square, I got my favorite McDonald's, and it's not locked, and I can just zip right in and zip right out.
Ooh. See, this is like some bathroom humor that's actually entertaining. This is good stuff.
Thanks,
Alice.
I'll get some sound on that for you, okay?
All right. Go find a bathroom, Alice. You've worked long and hard.
Alice on the spot.
Okay.
The queen of the streets. That's pretty funny. Natalie, she should do a story on that sometime.
I have to tell you, I speak to Alice a lot during the morning when you're not speaking to her. She's traveling from place to place, and I'm gathering sound from her.
Yeah.
And there are many times in the morning she's like, "All right, do I have 3 minutes? I have to find a bathroom." And I can understand that. It's not you don't think about it in your office. It's down the hall, but out on the streets, it is not.
Hey, you know what we're going to do next? We're going to play Real News, Fake News. If you want to play along, hey, you would have a chance to win a limited edition, unbelievably fantastic WOR t-shirt. It's gray. It's beautiful. It says Len Berman and Michael Riedel on the back. I'm telling you, it's a collector's item.
All I can think of is all this bathroom talk. I have to go to the bathroom
now.
Yeah,
me too. So let me get the tease over with. So if you want to play Real News, Fake News, where you have to guess which is the real headline, which is the fake headline, give us a call, 800-321-0710. If you get it right, you win a great t-shirt. Plus, your next chance is $1,000. And Mark Simone coming up at 10:05 on 710 WOR. Bernie Vider with traffic.
Good morning, everybody. At 9:25, it is time to play Is It Real or Is It Fake? This is when we give you a real news headline and a fake news headline, and you have to tell us which is which. So if you want to play, Give us a call here at 1-800-321-0710. That's 1-800-321-0710 to play Is It Real or Is It Fake? And if you can distinguish which headline is real and which is fake, you are in for a treat because you are going to win a Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the Morning t-shirt.
Well, listen to this. Not just any t-shirt.
No.
Our associate producer, Anthony, wrote this up for us. So listen to this. This limited edition 710 WR t-shirt has been described as the most comfortable t-shirt you will ever put on. Gray in color with a blue and orange 710 WR logo on the front and the most entertaining morning show logo on the back. Not sold in stores. The only way to get your hands on one is by listening to Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. on The Voice of New York, 710 WOR, or if you set up our associate producer, Anthony, with a date, he's 34 and still single. So there you go.
It might help Anthony if he wore something besides t-shirts and sweatshirts.
It would help Anthony if you moved out of your parents' house.
But other than that,
it's great. So it's that time.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel present Real News or Fake News. You decide.
All right. My player is going to be Kevin from Rocky Point. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Len and Michael. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. Oh, you're on, baby. Let's see if you can keep it up because, you know, most, I'd say 80% of the previous players have gotten it right. So you have some pretty big shoes to fill here.
And you must be
all right.
And you must be excited to get that t-shirt.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, all righty. I'm going to give you two headlines. You got to tell me which one is the real headline and which one is the fake headline. You ready to play, Kevin?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, we were talking all morning long. We've been talking about Starbucks is now going to open up the bathrooms for everybody to use. But a man didn't get to a Starbucks. He got to an airplane seat, and he was arrested for urinating on an airplane seat. All right. That's headline number one.
Okay.
All right, headline number two. There is a new perfume out that's become a bestseller. Women just love the smell of this perfume. But what they don't know is the perfume contains fish eggs. All right? So the perfume containing fish eggs is hugely popular with women. Which is the real headline and which is the fake headline, Kevin?
All right, I got to go with urinating on the airplane seat, fake.
That's the real one?
Is that?
That's the fake one.
That's the fake one? Kevin.
I'm sorry, Kevin. A man was indeed arrested for relieving himself on the seat on a Frontier flight. A woman was seated next to him. She complained that they got into a bit of an altercation. The man was arrested. And this will come as a surprise to you, Kevin. He is thought to have been intoxicated.
So, all right.
Sorry, Kev.
Sorry, Kevin.
Better luck next time, pal. All right, thanks for listening.
Right.
Hey, let's check out Jennifer. Jennifer wants to play. She's from Massapequa Park. Good morning, Jennifer.
Correct.
How you doing? You ready to roll?
I just want to first say I love you guys. I hooked up with you not that long ago, and I listen to you every morning.
How'd you find us?
You hooked up with us? Do you remember this, Len?
No, I don't. Was it that little pill we gave you, Jennifer?
Not in these days, that's for sure, no.
All right, so here you go. You ready? So how did you find us? You just stumbled on the show, or what happened?
Well, I've been listening to 710 for quite a while, and then I started hearing you, and then Michael came, and it was just the perfect match. So
wow.
It worked.
Thanks, Jennifer. Very nice of you.
Sure.
All right, let me give you your headlines here. One is real, one is fake. Let's see if you can do better than Kevin. All right, so we've been talking about Starbucks all day. So headline number one, Starbucks to open a new store in China every 15 hours. Starbucks to open a new store in China every 15 hours. That's one headline. Another second headline is woman manages to shop at more than 600 stores in one day. Woman manages to shop at more than 600 stores in one day. Which is real, which is fake?
Starbucks is real.
Starbucks, you think the Starbucks, is that your final answer?
It's my final answer.
Yes!
You win the t-shirt, Jennifer. All righty.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Can you imagine
thank
that?
Thank you.
You won the t-shirt, and Anthony's only worn it a couple of times.
Yeah, there you go.
As long as he washed it, it's fine.
Trust me, he hasn't.
Starbucks wants to double the... Thanks, Jennifer. Starbucks wants to double the amount of stores in the country by 2022. They will, over the next 5 years, open a new store every 15 hours.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a lot of bathrooms to clean.
Yes, I can't top that, Riedel.
And now, fresh from the men's room, let's go to Joe Bartlett with the 9:30 news.
All right, let's get to our...
On 710 WOR.
9:41. Michael, I love how we deal with all the big issues here, like how street reporters, the first thing they want to find when they're working in the street is where's the nearest bathroom. We got into this whole discussion with Alice because of Starbucks, obviously. And Joe was just telling us that when he has to report from somewhere, boom, go to the nearest bathroom because you don't know if that'll be the last.
Well, that's my policy. If I see a bathroom, I use it because I don't know when I'll see the next one.
Hey, listen, before I sit through a play,
bathroom
before
time.
The curtain goes up, I find the bathroom, and then at intermission, I am up that aisle so fast.
Yeah, you probably knocked over my daughter because she's usually the first one at intermission. Boom! But let's go find the restroom.
But the secret is, if you're at a play and you can't bolt up the aisle, rather than wait in line forever during intermission, just go across the street to the bar or the restaurant. Just pop in, wave at the bartender. Yeah, I'll have a drink. Dart in, use the bathroom there.
Oh boy, he's really.
He's
a schemer.
Oh yeah, he really
is. Can make it back in time.
Yeah, absolutely. The bars, really? There are bars across the street next door. You just pop in.
Do you ever get that drink that you ordered?
No.
Oh, you phony baloney.
No.
So we got a couple of great tweets here. You can tweet us at our show handle, which is at Len Michael WOR. A guy named Michael has this whole thing for Alice on Amazon to buy Ziploc bags.
What do you do with the Ziploc?
Well, that's what, if you have to go, like when you got to go, like you have a Ziploc bag. She says, they're great for the beach, camping, and pounding the pavement. Getting the stories we love to hear.
Okay. Not
a
just
Ziploc
for your
bag.
Not just for your dog.
And another a female reporter for New York One says, thank you, Alice. She says she holds it in for hours every night. Thank you for acknowledging how hard it is for reporters in the field. Somebody finally cares. That's Alice's mark on life. She's leading the campaign for free bathroom usage for street reporters.
Well, thanks to Mayor de Blasio, you can go on the street and not get arrested.
That's true.
That works as well.
Yeah, all you have to do is find a fire hydrant.
Thank you, Mayor. So we got a couple of Long Island stories. First of all, the Mangano trial and his wife and Venditto, and apparently the jury is a little bit deadlocked on some of the issues. They were in their third day of deliberation. They asked the judge, they said, we're having problems here, and the judge says, all right, come back tomorrow and start all over, meeting today. But apparently there's some testimony involved with Linda and the FBI, and they're checking it all out. So it's not going to be a cut-and-dry deal here.
But you're pretty close to the Manganos. You have dinner with them regularly.
I have not had dinner with them since they were indicted. No.
But come on. They're guilty, right? They've got to be guilty.
Well, it just doesn't look, regardless of guilt, it just doesn't look good.
A $400,000 no-show job to taste food.
It just doesn't look good. Doesn't look good.
And the guy who gave that to you gets guaranteed loans.
I like Linda. She's a nice lady, very personable, and Ed's a nice guy. And
they are friends of yours.
Well, I've been at various functions with them.
But see, the problem is, and I blame you, because he needed to keep up with people like you.
That's true. Yeah.
He didn't earn enough as county executive.
All my fault. So I should go to jail with him.
Wanted to lead that lifestyle, the North Shore lifestyle like Len.
Yeah. Maybe I could share a cell with him. That'd be nice. That'd be a lot of fun.
Now he's going to have a chance to sample prison food soon.
Speaking of Long Island, the president comes to town tomorrow, and Congressman Peter King is very involved with the president. They'll be there together at Bethpage addressing MS-13, and we will have Peter King on with us live tomorrow morning to preview the whole affair at 7:05. But this is the whole, the animals. This is the whole thing.
Well, Trump called the MS-13 gang. He called them animals. They are animals. They dismember their enemies. They videotape the dismemberment, and then they send the tapes to the relatives of the people they have killed. He called them animals, and they are animals. But your friends on the left immediately jump up and down because they say he means all immigrants are animals. Demonstrably, that is not what he meant.
So you're hypocrites, my friends on the left. The Manganos are on the right, so you don't have no idea what you're talking about. Hey, how about the Pope? You took a shot at Cardinals before the break.
I was kidding.
I'm sure you're going to get a lot of nasty emails about that.
I was kidding.
The Pope basically said that he was talking to a gay individual and said, God made you like this, acknowledging that being gay is not a choice, that he was born that way. And, of course, when we mentioned about his comments to the gay community, you called the gay community Cardinals.
Oh,
way
please.
To go, Rito.
Why do you have to bring it back up? I was just
because you mentioned it. Don't you want to stand behind
joke.
Your words? Joe is annoyed. That's why Joe's still sitting here.
Yeah, but what did you say off the air then?
I didn't say that. I didn't say anything.
Okay. I won't give you up. Now, listen. Good for the Pope. I mean, the Catholic Church has been, you know, opposed to homosexuality, but this is a progressive in the good sense Pope, and he is saying God made you who you are, and we embrace it, and it's okay to be gay.
Well, God made man in his own likeness.
Right.
Okay. So there cannot be any sort of problem
right.
with
being gay.
Humans.
Absolutely.
If you believe, you know, you were a gift from God.
Are you saying God was gay?
Well, he likes
no.
He likes a show.
He
no.
made a gay man no, no. in his own likeness.
No, no. Everybody.
Or a gay woman.
No, no.
I'm very confused.
God
the
is
traits,
everything.
Everybody has a little different trait.
Okay.
But, you know.
So God has all the traits.
In totality, you are all godlike.
Okay. Yes. So part of so what you're saying is part of God is gay, part is straight, part is transgender. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay, fine.
That's not what
all
I'm
right,
saying.
Coming up next, we've got...
call the Pope if you want an explanation.
Oh, boy, we're pissing everyone off.
Man.
Equal opportunity pissing off show.
God's going to be at Marie's crisis tonight.
Coming up next, we got some dumb crooks. Now, which of these is unlike the others? We got dumb crooks at Domino's, McDonald's, Walmart, and Bergdorf's. All dumb crooks at all four of them. Trust me. Plus, your next chance is $1,000. 10:05 here on 710 WOR. How about some traffic now with Bernie Vine?
Good morning. Coming up at 9:55, 5 minutes away from Mr. New York himself, Mark Simone. And tomorrow we got Congressman Peter King. He'll be here talking about President Trump's upcoming visit to Len's house out there.
No,
in
he's not going, but he is going to Bethpage tomorrow, and they'll deal with MS-13. Peter King involved with that, involved with the president. And the congressman will join us at 7:05.
You're going to go to the Trump rally tomorrow, Len?
If Congressman King invited me, I would go.
If Congressman King, if you're listening, extend the invitation and Len will be there with you. Cheering on our president. That'll be interesting, Len.
That'd be my pleasure.
Hey, you know, you go to McDonald's for fast food, right? Well, sometimes the food is not fast enough.
Yeah.
A woman flew off the handle at an upstate McDonald's when she didn't get her order of small fries fast enough.
What's considered fast enough?
I would say if you pull up to the drive-thru, you give the order, by the time the car comes, the fries should be ready, all right? Well, apparently the fries weren't ready, so she had a slushie with her. She threw the slushie at the window, and then she started making homophobic slurs at the employees, and then she goes into the store brandishing a gun. Oh. At them because they didn't give her the fries fast enough. Now, they haven't identified the woman, and they're still looking for her up there in Albany. All this because she didn't get the fries fast enough.
Yeah, I understand. Well, they had another problem at a Domino's. You think that's a problem?
Yeah.
This Domino's, are you familiar with Pizza Points?
No, I'm not.
So you're not a Domino's regular?
No.
Well, apparently you get Pizza Points. So for every order of $10 or more, you earn 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
60 points can be redeemed. Wait a second. So you got to get 60 pizzas?
Wow.
Every system earns you 1 point for $10. 60 points gets you a free medium two topping. Well, no wonder this guy got upset. So
usually you get a dollar a point. So it's not your pizza isn't a dollar. So it racks up.
It says I'm reading again. This is on foxnews.com.
And you know
every order of $10 or more earns you 1 point.
Okay so correct? Every $10 you get a point.
Every $10 you get a point. You need 60 points. You got to spend $600?
Orders. No, six orders.
I don't know about this. Anyway, this guy was upset. He gets into a big fight at the Domino's in what town in Massachusetts is this? Hyannis.
Oh.
So he was upset because he was getting ripped off of his points?
Yes, he was so upset with the points and arguing. And I'd be upset too if he needed 60 points and you only get 1 point per $10. Anyway. He was asked to leave. He knocked pizza boxes out of the delivery driver's hands. The police show up. They put him in handcuffs. He continues to be abusive all over his pizza points. He was charged with intimidating a witness.
Mm. Okay,
there you go.
Well, also, I like my Starbucks points and my Dunkin' Donuts points, and I would go into a fight over them, too.
Well, I could use my Dunkin' Donuts points.
I do all the time.
Sean Whitmire. Way to go, Sean. Disorderly conduct. They did say he had strong odor of alcohol in his breath.
Oh, of course. Oh,
do you use the restroom in the Dunkin' Donuts too, Len?
I have not, but it's locked. You have to ask to be buzzed in.
Ah, I see. All right, and now here's another. This is our, what's our segment today? It's the
Dumb Crooks.
Well, yeah. Here's a real dumb one. All right, this woman, she's a personal shopper at Bergdorf Goodman.
Yeah.
But when she's not shopping for other people, she's shoplifting for herself.
Help yourself, yeah.
She has been arrested now and charged with swiping more than $6,000 in luxury goods from Bergdorf Goodman. And they caught her on the video as she was going through the racks and pulling clothes off the racks when she thought nobody was looking except for that video camera that's installed everywhere these days.
And she tried to leave through the employee entrance.
Stuffing the clothes into the bag and then walking out the employee entrance.
Way to go. This is 23-year-old Remy Landau, a former personal shopper at Scarsdale. Hey, there's a Walmart in Clearwater. You know, they have these special carts for handicap. You can ride around in like a little motorized cart.
That's nice.
Well, they have them at Walmart, which is very nice. Well, this couple from Clearwater, 50-year-old Jeffrey Sabiel and 32-year-old Santa, that's her name, Santa Marie Walters. So they helped themselves to this electrified cart, and they're zipping across the street to the bar. On this motorized cart. All right, they got busted.
They're not handicapped?
No, they were booked for grand theft charges.
Oh, that's kind of fun. I like that. That's good. All right, hey, did you miss anything today? You can check out 710WOR.com/Len and Michael for all the tidbits we had today, plus a bonus segment that's always fun. Coming up next is Mark Simone and your chance at $1,000. That's all coming up at 10 o'clock. But first, let's go out with a song that I love, The Rainbow Connection. Which one for Maddie Poppy
on American Idol? Yeah, she sang with Kermit.